it kind of scared me when Steve started the service out that Sawyer bought his mom one, right? And the problem is we bought our dog the same one. And sometimes at night I'm walking through the house and there's that sock monkey on the floor staring at me. It's true. And I believe it. I need prayer. This folds over into the belief of some things about God and Jesus. We've been talking over the last several weeks about the Trinity and the doctrine of who God is. And then now we've switched over to Jesus since this is that time of year. And so I want to throw out some theological terms. And the first one is animism, since we're talking about sock monkeys. But animism is the worldview that natural entities such as animals, plants, sock monkeys, and even inanimate objects possess a spiritual essence. So there's this belief out there called animism that that chair that you're sitting in today has a spirit about it, you know, or the rock or the trees or the mountains. There's a spiritual essence to it. And so that's a real popular worldview. Another worldview is polytheism. These are the beliefs, by the way, that was happening during the time of Christ when he came to the earth. Polytheism is the worship of or belief in multiple deities. In other words, the Greek, when you think of Greek mythology, you think about Zeus and all those, that there's a whole bunch of gods out there, not just one God, okay? That people believe there's the God of the sun, the God of the rain, the God of the moon, the God of the stars, the God of the earth. All these different ideas of gods, poly meaning many, or theism, gods. And so the worship of belief in multiple deities. And then there's monotheism. Mono meaning one, and theism, God. So the belief in the existence of one God or in the oneness of God. Now, that's not very exciting. But I want to turn our focus to this because we believe that there's one God, and then yet we say that there's three. This belief of the doctrine of incarnation. So there's another term that we want to talk about. We talked about that a little bit. But incarnation means embodied in the flesh or taking on flesh. That means for us that Jesus is the incarnation of God, that Jesus shows up as God in the flesh. He's embodied in the flesh or taking on the flesh. And so here's a couple of verses that we want to throw at you. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So Scripture is very clear in saying that Jesus is God embodied in the flesh. He's the incarnation of God. That's why we celebrate. God came from heaven down to earth. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." God actually came to this earth, walked around on this earth. We think about flesh and blood. He died on this earth. And so He's embodied God, and He's coming down, left heaven, and has come down to live and dwell among us for a time. And then one more, Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8 says, "But He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Isaiah cries out in the Old Testament, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Isaiah is crying out to the Lord God in a prayer, and it's recorded for us. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Being a prophet, maybe he had no idea that one day God would. And God did. And we celebrate that He rended the heavens and He came down. How can we wrap our arms and minds around this? I love John Ortberg. I'm borrowing some of his thoughts this morning on this story. But he tells a story of Father Damien. And Father Damien he's now a famous monk, but he moved to the island of Molokai, Hawaii. And in this little town, this village, it was a place where they'd shipped lepers because it's a remote island, Hawaii. It was the least populated island. And in this little village of Molokai, Father Damien, he came alongside the lepers and said, I'm going to serve them and I'm minister to them and I'm going to take care of them. And so he spent the next 16 years of his life bandaging their wounds, having church services for them, preaching to them, building homes for them. And then he would go and pray with them. He built over 200 coffins because he knew that they were coming there to die. And he gave his life because one day, his mindset and from his journals, it's recorded for us that his idea was he no longer wanted this Kolokai to be a place to come to die, but a place to come and live. What a cool concept that people that were destined to die, he said, no, I want you in your dying come to have a place of peace and rest and have an opportunity to really live. And so he built schools for him. He started a choir with the kids. He even started a band with them. He started work programs with them. And for the next 16 years of his life, he gave his life to them so that they could live. And to me, he represents that idea of the Word became flesh and dwelt among us because he now, one day, started a sermon with these words. We lepers. Because you know what happens. When someone comes and he hangs out with the lepers and he touches them and he bandages their wounds and he hugs them and cares for them, he's not afraid to embrace them. He's not afraid to touch them. He's not afraid to bandage their wounds and care for them. And guess what happens? He becomes a leper and eventually dies. But now the idea that Father Damien no longer is just coming from a distance to minister to them, but he came one of them. In fact, he entered into their skin, didn't he? He entered in the world of being a leper. To me, that's kind of what Jesus did when he came in the flesh. He came and said, we humans. And he was born with the birth that you and I are born with. Born of a virgin, entered in this world flesh and blood. Naked, screaming and crying probably. Cold. Born in a barn, literally, huh? We romanticize it by calling it a manger, but in a stall. And then he died. And in the same way that Jesus, Father Damien says, we lepers, Jesus can say to you and I, we humans. And he lived in our skin, like Father Damien did. I love this time of year that reminds us of who Jesus is to us. He showed us that the place where we live isn't just a place to come and die and wait around to die. This is a place for us to really live. We forget that sometimes that, you know, that we kind of quote that verse, John 10:10, for I came that they might have life and have life more abundantly, or life to the full. That's what Father Damien was trying to show this leper colony, but also why Jesus came to show us. And we don't really get that. We can't really wrap our arms and our minds around this whole concept that we're not just here to, we as Christians really kind of mess it up sometimes because we espouse this belief that all you got to do is get saved and you're good to go for all eternity. And then you sweat it out and you remember the prayer, your sinner's prayer, because as long as you say the sinner's prayer, you're good to go for all eternity. All that's true, that's cool, whatever. But then we kind of espouse this idea that if I made these promises to God during my sinner's prayer, I just got to make sure that I don't mess up too bad to be too hypocritical so that someday when I go from life to death, I haven't messed that up. But I'm just going to struggle, sweat it out till I die. And then kind of I'll really know how well I did at death. Jesus came to teach us something different than that, I think. I love, I told you this story before, but I have a dog named Roxy, and she's a big Rottweiler, and she has a really nub. We cut off her tail. Sorry about that. But somebody did. But she just got a little nub of a tail. And my son, when he comes home, he loves to torment my dog because if you knock on the door, she barks. Or if you go out on the porch and she's there and you go, what is it? What is it? She looks around and if you go, it's over there. And she'll run like there's a squirrel or a deer or something like that out there in the woods. And so he'll sit there, and he'll sit there at the lunch table and go, "What is it?" And she'll bark, bark, and go there. And she just knows something's out there. She's just convinced of it. And now, unfortunately, my dog has a new friend, another dog, and it does the same thing. And so it's like entertainment to get the dogs all crazy, because now this other dog also believes it's been converted. That there's something out there beyond, you know, the yard, something out in the woods. And that's kind of what we kind of view death like. We kind of, from humanity, believe that there's something out there, but we're not sure what. But what Jesus did, John Ortberg reminds us of that, what Jesus did, he came from out of the woods, out there somewhere beyond death, and entered to our sphere of life and living. And he shows us that not only is there coming from heaven down to earth and dwelling among us in bodily form, showing us who God is, that there's something more than just death, something more than just sweating it out all of our days as a Christian until we die, but that we can possibly really live and love God and experience Him here on earth, just like a leper community. This isn't a place for you to wait around to die. This is a place for us to really live. Of all people on the planet, we as Christians should espouse that doctrine. This is a place to live with God here on earth. That's what Jesus did. He came and He lived in flesh and blood with God and with man on earth. John 14:31 tells us this. "But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." And he's talking to the disciples. But to go, "I came to show you guys that I do exactly what my Father has commanded." Look at John 16:28. "I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." See, he came out of the woods and revealed himself, revealed the Father. And then he goes, "I'm going to die. I'm going to go back to the Father." And then the last verse, John 17, or there's two verses, 4:26. "I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." This is Jesus' agenda, that I came to bring you glory on earth. I revealed you. I have made you known to them. Jesus came from the other side into our world to teach us and to model for us who God is and how God wants us to live with Him. Karen Main tells a story of an elementary school Sunday school teacher. And she was trying to tell them that we're saved by grace through faith alone, not by works. And so she said, "If I sold all I possess and give it to the poor, would I go to heaven?" And all the class says, "No." "Well, if I serve everybody, does my good works get me into heaven? Will I be in heaven?" "No." And they'll keep going on, and she keeps doing this for a period of time. And she goes, "Well, what I got to do to go to heaven?" And one little boy says, "You got to be dead." And that's the theology that we espouse, the five-year-old theology that spreads throughout all the world, isn't it? That we believe the only way to get to the other side is to just be dead. And then we're revealed in glory. Then we understand this "you've got to be dead" theology. That what it's saying in some ways as Christians, and that the goodies really don't kick in till later. You got to be dead when there's good stuff. Right now we just sweat it out and wait for someone, some out there time. Jesus came, I think, to show a different way. We haven't said the Lord's Prayer yet, but let's show that up on the screen. This is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 30. Let's pray this together. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I love that beginning of that next paragraph, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Nowhere in this prayer, this is Jesus trying to teach the disciples how to pray, right? Nowhere in this prayer, he says, and when we get to heaven, then everything will be better. And it will be great and it'll be wonderful. But Jesus came in the flesh and blood, born in a baby, in our skin. And you've heard me say this a thousand times. Make up there, come down here. On earth as it is, that he espouses this doctrine that you don't got to be dead. That you can actually experience walking with God now and loving Him and experiencing Him and enjoying Him and giving Him joy. And you don't got to be dead. That we can follow Him now in living. Many times people say, well, I'd die for Christ if it came to that. Why don't we choose to live for Christ? Because it has come to that. Let's live for Him. That's what Jesus said. On earth as it is in heaven. A couple questions for you today. Where do I want to see God's presence and power breaking into my world? Jesus shows up on the scene in Bethlehem and His presence and power shows up. Where do you want to see God penetrate the world today? And where would I like God to use me to make things down here a little more like up there? Now, that's more challenging, isn't it? We like when we say, hey, make up there, come down here. And God goes, well, let's do it together. What is He going to do with you, through you, to make up there? Come down here, because that's what Jesus said. I don't do anything but what my Father tells me, and I'm going to send the Spirit, and He's not going to do anything but what the Father and I tell Him. And now He's going to dwell in you, and the presence of Christ and of the Father will be with you, and I will be with you wherever you go. Make up there, come down here. You and I have the power and the capacity and the presence to do all that. You know, Jesus answers that question of make up there, come down here when He came down to us, didn't He? Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. He came around in our skin. And that's why we celebrate communion. His flesh and blood walking around. And then John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message. That's us. He's not just praying for His disciples now. He's praying for us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. Make up there, come down here is Jesus' philosophy that people are going to believe through us. Not just through Him, but through us now. I've given them the glory that You gave Me. Now you can't say, I don't know how. I can't. I've given the glory that You gave Me that they may be one as we are one. I and them and You and Me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. God loves you. Every one of you here this morning, God loves you. It's unmistakable, undeniable. And He desires oneness and unity with you. And He's in you as He was with Jesus. The miracle isn't that God came in the flesh as much as it is that God still lives in the flesh. Christ's body is still alive and walking around on this planet. Look around. We call this what? The body of Christ? That's who you are. You know, we've heard about Father Damien now, and he starts his sermon saying, we lepers. You've heard of Mother Teresa? She went to the poor in Calcutta, India. What'd she say? We poor. That's not so far-fetched. We think of those are grandiose, holy people. There's a lady in our church that over this last month said, we need to help soldiers out with soldier boxes. You know what she said? We soldiers. The groups of folks together, they're bringing to me even this morning that we've provided Christmas boxes for orphans in Haiti. You know what they've said? We're one with them. We orphans. You collected money over the last several weeks to bring Christmas meals to over 100 families. You as a body of Christ have said, we hungry. There are several of you that have signed up to take on and adopt families that don't have Christmas or under-resourced. And then you go, hey, we got extra. And you're saying, we needy. You are the body of Christ and the flesh of God walking around in real shoes and real coats. There's a group of people. There's a few of these deacons like John and Andy that stood up this morning. That on Saturday, they're going to be out delivering those boxes. And they're going to say, we Christians, we are one with you. We are one with the under-resourced, the poor, the orphans, the soldiers. We just sent money to somebody in prison. We prisoners. The body of Christ is alive. We don't have to wait till we're dead because Christ came to show us how to live and to taste our living and then die our death. That's what Father Damien did. He tasted their living and he walked around their skin like God walks around in our skin, and then he dies our death. And someday we will too, but right now we're living. What are you going to do with your living? There are others. I think it's exciting what God's doing in our church. There are others that are providing firewood, Christmas gifts, shoveling snow, helping people. Do you know that every time you open up the door for someone, a little smile goes a long way, right? And the body of Christ is alive and active. Beck and I were at a restaurant yesterday, and there's a lady that was waiting on us, and she wasn't real happy to be working on a Saturday. You could tell. Good morning. How are you? Want some coffee? And we had a goal because we weren't working, so we were kind of happy, you know. And so we're joking around, and after a while, she's like, you want some more water? Sure, you know, and I had a couple cups of coffee, and so I held it up, and I go, I'm a heavy drinker. And she smiled. Because I was joking with her, I'm a heavy drinker, I need some more water. And I was like, ah, oh, that's what she needed. That's what we wanted. As stupid as I am and as bad a joke as I am, somebody liked it. God bless her, right? But Jay, maybe just for a moment, someone out there didn't have to focus on, I'm just getting through today so I can wait to die someday. But imagine what we have as hope. That's what we espouse that Christmas is all about, isn't it? We espouse that Christ came as the hope of the world. Father Damien showed the leper colony, this is how you live. And he embraced them. And he bandaged their wounds. And he walked with them and he lived their life. And that's what Jesus did. And eventually what did we do? We killed him. He lived our life and he walked around in our skin. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Make up there, come down here. He's going, it already is happening because I am here. And you and I can have the possibility of doing the same every single day. I don't know where you're going to go eat today. But imagine if you treated your waiter or waitress as someone made in the Lord's image. And you wanted to show them living's okay. Or when you go to Walmart and someone's working today on Sunday, and you're going to go shopping today or do something, or you go to the mall or you go to the movies or whatever. Imagine if we could show up and everywhere we went, our objective was to make up there, come down here, right where I'm at, going to the movie theater, going to Walmart, driving my car, at my dinner table with my family. I know this weekend coming up, you're going to go to those relatives that you're not sure they're really related somehow, but they are. Imagine if you even show up there going, make up there, come down here with my family. Glory. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus, right? And imagine if we had that attitude, that mindset, that we are the embodiment of who God is, walking around in flesh and blood as the body of Christ. This isn't so bad. We can do this. Every time you love, every time you include someone who's hurting, every time you encourage someone who's defeated, every time you send a note letting someone lonely know you're thinking about them, every time you challenge someone who's kind of wandering off the path, every time you serve others, you are one with Jesus. You are the body of Christ. You can say, we are Christ on earth. That's a heavy responsibility, isn't it? Sometimes we don't really want to go there. But all we're saying is we sinners. We're not treating anybody different. Nobody big, nobody small. Everybody medium. We sinners. You show up and you walk around this earth. But the difference is you have hope that I don't have to wait till I die. I can live the life. I can make up there, come down here, right here, today, right now. I can experience oneness with God in the same way that Jesus was one with God. And he prays that prayer and he espouses that doctrine. He believes that theology. Imagine if we as Christians do that. Christ on earth. What a concept. Christmas happens. Christmas can actually happen. Views the body of Christ penetrate his world with grace and truth and love. A little bit more of up there has come down here, right? As earth as it is on heaven. One more definition. Christmas. This is what we're talking about, right? This whole thing of Christmas on earth. Christmas. It's a miracle. It really comes from two words, really. Christ's Mass. Obviously Christ, right? But it's his Mass. We celebrate. Mass means Eucharist. You know what Eucharist means? Thankful. Christians have taken the body and the blood, and when Jesus broke bread and gave thanks, that where it became the term of Eucharist. This is Thanksgiving, which we celebrated. And the holiday season started that moment of Thanksgiving all the way to the time when we celebrate the fact that Christ embodies flesh and blood. Christ embodies flesh and blood. We celebrate it in communion, the Eucharist, when we take the body and we take the blood and we celebrate it and hold it up to the Lord. But you are Christ's Mass. You're the Mass that holds Christ. You are the body and the blood of who Jesus is, because the Bible says that when you give your life to him, he indwells inside of you. And you are now the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears of who Jesus is. He says, it's much better that I go. Why? Because I will send the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, in the Greek word paraclete, the one who comes alongside of you. He'll live inside of you. He'll dwell inside of you. He'll enliven you. He'll empower you. He'll fill you. He'll penetrate you. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. And you walk around as Christ's Mass, the body and the blood of God, penetrating a world and everywhere you go. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, Ephesians tells us. What happens when you open the door for someone? What do they say? Eucharist happens. When you give a gift, when you hand out food, what do they say? Thank you. Eucharist happens, because Eucharist means with thanksgiving. Imagine if we say, Christmas doesn't happen on a certain day out there somewhere. Christmas happens when I show up to the party. That's not arrogant. That's just responsible to say, when I walk into this place, the Lord is here. The possibilities are endless. When I show up to family dinner, Christ has arrived, because He lives inside of me. He dwells inside of me. And I can offer we lepers, we sinners, hope of how to really live. Are you really living? Maybe it's just a turn of the dial, maybe adjustment of perception to say, how can I challenge others to make up their come down here? Maybe by my presence, but the fact that I believe, not in my power, not my strength, not my goodness, but the fact that goodness dwells inside of me, and I want to take Him. And maybe as I yield to Him, listen to His promptings, maybe the goodness of the Lord will win out rather than Wes Davis showing up, more of Christ shows up. I challenge you this next week. Next Sunday is Christmas Sunday. And that's all she wrote, right? It's downhill from there. I challenge you between now and Christmas to make up their come down here with a smile, with a warm embrace, with generosity, with care, and with hope that Christmas has arrived. It's already here. I see it everywhere. Stand and pray. Father, You sent Your Son Jesus to be a servant. He penetrated our world. He made His dwelling among us. Thank You. Thank You for sending Him. Thank You that He entered our realm. And He was born into our birth, and He died our death. And He showed us that there is hope beyond the grave. But He also showed us how to live in the present, here and now, that we can live vibrant, full, and a meaningful existence, to walk with You, to be one with our brothers and sisters, and to bring hope to a lost and dying world. Thank You, Lord, also for the wisdom that You give man. Thank You for John Ortberg and Barnes' stories this morning. And I pray Your peace and Your blessing on this, Your body. In Jesus' holy name, amen.